Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 25. Rajas Tamascha Sattvena Sattvam Chopa Shamena Cha Etat Sarvam Guru Bhaktya Purusho Yanjasa Jayat Raja Tama. The modes of passion and ignorance. Cha and Satvena. By developing the mode of goodness. Sattvam. The mode of goodness. Cha. Also. Upashamena, by giving up attachment, cha, and etat, these, sarvam, all, guru, unto the spiritual master, bhaktya, by rendering service and devotion, purusha, a person, he, indeed, anjasa, easily, jayat, can conquer. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One must conquer the modes of passion, ignorance, by developing the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master. With faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. Purport. Just by treating the root cause of an ailment, one can conquer all bodily pains and sufferings. Similarly, if one is devoted and faithful to the spiritual master, he can conquer the influence of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun very easily. Yogis and jnanis practice in many ways to conquer the senses. But the bhakta immediately attains the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. If the spiritual master is favorably inclined, one naturally receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one immediately becomes transcendental, conquering all the influence of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun within the material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sagunan samititayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. If one is a pure devotee acting under the directions of the Guru, one can easily get the mercy of the Supreme Lord and thus become immediately situated on the transcendental platform. This is explained in the next verse. Spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Purport. It is recommended that one honor the spiritual master as being on an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrair. This is enjoined in every scripture. Charyamam Vijaniyat. One should consider the Acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In spite of all these instructions, if one considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being, one is doomed. His study of the Vedas and his austerities and penances for enlightenment are all useless, like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant bathes in a lake quite thoroughly, but as it comes on the shore, it takes some dust from the ground and strews it over its body. Thus, there is no meaning to the elephant's bathing. One may argue that by saying that since the spiritual master's relatives and the men of his neighborhood consider him an ordinary human being, what is the fault on the part of a disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse, but the injunction is that the spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for he is pleased, certainly the Supreme Personality of God is pleased. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadam nagati kutopi. So the last verse we'll read today. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all of other living entities and the spirit and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyas. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. Purport. The example of Lord Krishna as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appropriate in regard to understanding the spiritual master. The spiritual master is called Sevaka Bhagavan, the servitor personality of Godhead. And Krishna is called Sevya Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is to be worshipped. The spiritual master is the worshipper God, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the worshipable God. This is the difference between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another point, Bhagavad Gita, which constitutes the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is presented by the spiritual master as it is, without deviation. Therefore, the absolute truth is present in the spiritual master. As clearly stated in the text 26, Jnana Dipena Pradeh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives real knowledge to the entire world, and the spiritual master or the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead carries a message throughout the world. Therefore, on the absolute platform, there is no difference between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Someone considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Lord Ramachandra to be an ordinary human being. This does not mean that the Lord becomes an ordinary human being. Similarly, if the family members of the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, this does not mean that he becomes an ordinary human being. The spiritual master is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one who is very serious about spiritual advancement must regard the spiritual master in this way. Even a slight deviation from this understanding can create disaster in the disciple's Vedic studies and austerities. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita speak about the spiritual master. And indeed, in the Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Adau Guru Ashraya, that our first business is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, this can be done in a way, in a superficial way, and could be done with proper understanding. To be an actual representative of Krishna, full representative of Krishna, is not so easy. That if we just consider that somehow or another, if one is appointed as a spiritual master, then he becomes a spiritual master. That would be very easy. Then we can just appoint everyone as a spiritual master, and we'd have a whole movement of spiritual masters. I mean, we could say Uttama Adhikaris, because in reality, going to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guruhana Taridesh. Whoever we meet, that we should tell them about Krishna. We should help them advance in Krishna consciousness. In this way, we should become a spiritual master and try and deliver wherever we are, the people wherever we are. So everyone who is repeating the message of Krishna is actually a spiritual master, because there are only two energies in this world. Well, there are three energies, but there are two energies that the soul can be under, either the Daivi Prakriti, the divine energy, or he can be under the external energy, Daivi Prakritim Ashritya. Or he can become under the Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya, under the material energy, Maya. That's the only two energies. If one is under the spiritual energy, then whatever he does is actually on behalf of Krishna. Of course, one can be in a combination. We can be doing spiritual activities in material consciousness. The other way is not really valid. We won't be able to do material activities in spiritual consciousness, because then they won't be spiritual. They won't be material. In any case, what's honored is the words of the spiritual master, and the words of, and the spiritual master is supposed to be an acharya. He's supposed to follow what he says, otherwise it's confusing. Now, there are different levels of understanding. As here the verse is given, acharyamam vijaniyam navamartita karhichit na sarva buddhya suyeta sarva deva mayo guru. This is a quote from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, acharyamam vijaniyam, that one should see the spiritual master as my very self. Acharyamam vijaniyam navamanyate karichit. At no time would one should be criticizing the spiritual master. One should not think that the spiritual master is an ordinary person subject to death. Sarvadeva maya guru, because he's a representative of all the demigods. So, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, there are different kinds of spiritual masters. There's a spiritual master in the Gurukul who trains his disciples like a father how to come to the spiritual platform. This is the, like Sandipani Muni trained Krishna and Balaram and Sudama how to become transcendentalists. Of course, they didn't really need the training, but for our sake, Krishna and Balaram went to the Gurukul. There's another level of spiritual master who is actually transcendentally situated. Not that Sandipani Muni wasn't transcendentally situated, but Prabhupada explains about the general of the guru, the spiritual master in the Gurukul is not necessarily as transcendentally realized as the spiritual master who, as Prabhupada says, is a representative either a personal associate of Srimati Radharani, or as a direct associate of Lord Nityananda. Generally, we take those spiritual masters as acharyas, that as soon as one becomes a pure devotee, a completely pure devotee, then one becomes an acharya. And therefore, he becomes naturally under the control, Daivi Prakriti Mashitya. Whatever he does is being actually done by the spiritual energy. Of course, because he's dovetailed in Krishna's service, therefore he's a willing, he's a enthusiastic participant in the spiritual energy. And therefore whatever he does is beyond criticism. We may not understand it from the mundane platform, just like Prabhupada. He said things at times that people can't understand now, because we're not on the platform where we can understand it, how he was preaching in order to give people some opportunity to make progress towards or in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if one is acting as a authority, because there are different varieties of authority, guru na sasyat, pita na sasyat, daivam na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, Maharaj Rishabhdev says that one should not become a father, a mother, a spiritual, a worshipful demigod, a spiritual master, or a husband if he can't deliver his dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So it's not only the initiating spiritual master is a spiritual master, is an authority, or even the Shiksha Gurus are authority. Everyone, practically speaking, has a role of an authority in this world over someone else. And they're supposed to be a spiritual authority, not just a mundane authority. The idea of having children is not for some economic development so that eventually you can turn into sense gratification. It's actually to raise the children to become spiritual, Krishna conscious. And for that, the parents have to become spiritual authorities. Now, if one is not on the highest level of spiritual advancement, so what does that mean in terms of acting as an authority? Well, the mother acts as a spiritual authority. The father acts as a spiritual authority. The husband acts as a spiritual authority. The relatives, the worshipful demigod, whatever, they may act as the leader or may act as a spiritual authority. And they may not be on the highest level, but they should be on a higher, they should be mediums for those who are on the level that can help us make advancement towards the highest platform of spiritual life. Now, if one becomes an initiating guru or an instructing guru, then Krishna says in the next verse that, what's the first word in the next verse? Antaryami? No, that's not right. That's the second line. The Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Jani Krishna Sarup Antaryami Bhakta Shesta Se Duri Rup. That one should know this, the super soul, as well as the instructing guru to be myself. Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Krishna Jani Krishna Sarup. That one should know that the instructing guru, either the super soul, Antaryami Bhakta Shesta, or the highest devotee, they're actually representatives. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, there are two types of instructing gurus. One of them is situated in transcendence, and he sees everything objectively. Seeing things, everything objectively means he actually sees things as they actually are. He's in the spiritual energy. And therefore, whatever he says and sees is perfect. Whatever he does, sees, says, is perfect because it's all under the spiritual energy, which is perfection. To be in the spiritual energy is perfection. If Krishna, if Radharani and the gopis become so ecstatic, they go to the Yamuna and try to milk it, churn it to get milk. Or if Krishna gets ecstatic seeing the gopis churning the Yamuna to get milk out of ecstatic love for Krishna, and Krishna tries to milk a bull, it's not a mistake. It's out of ecstatic love. It's part of rasa. So what we see as mistake in the material world is the real mistake is that we're not in the spiritual energy. We've forgotten Krishna. That's our mistake. We're outside the realm of pure devotion. That's the mistake. If one enters into the realm of pure devotion, ecstatic love for Krishna, then there are no mistakes. Although apparently for a mundane person, there may seem to be mistakes, and therefore sometimes the acharya may act in such a way as not to agitate the minds of the materialistic people. But in any case, they see everything objectively. On the other hand, there may be some who are acting as the role of instructing gurus, but they're not on the highest platform. But if they're higher than the other devotee, or the devotees that they're instructing, then they may help them, due to their own experience in Krishna consciousness, how to come to at least the platform that they're on. Just like if you want to become expert in a sport, you can't find anyone in this universe, perhaps, who, for instance, gets it right every time. Every time they shoot the basket for the basketball, or every time they kick the ball in soccer, because I guess soccer is prominent here. Every time they kick the ball, it always goes into the goal. Otherwise, you're useless. You claim you're expert, but you can't get it 100%. Now, anyone who can kick the ball and better than we can, they become our authority in kicking balls, at least. Similarly, anyone who can help us come to a higher level of consciousness, then they become a spiritual authority. Now, the only way they can help us is if they repeat what Krishna says. And the only way they're going to repeat what Krishna says is if they repeat what they heard from their spiritual master. and then they can explain according to their realization what the spiritual master is trying to convey through the disciple succession. But if they make up their own philosophy, they don't repeat what they heard, then they're not acting, at least at that time, as a bona fide representative of Krishna. If they don't repeat what they've heard from their spiritual master, according to time, place, and audience, then they're not connected, at least at that time. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches his disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of pure devotional service. In other words, to come to the platform of loving devotion to Krishna, then that requires full realization, bhakti. And part of that, of course, is to recognize, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi Sunichena, if one thinks himself to be a spiritual master and the master of his disciples, then instead of becoming a guru, he becomes a guru, namely like a cow. That the spiritual master, he's supposed to be always in constant touch with his spiritual master, who's the personification of humility and all good qualities because of his being in touch with his spiritual master and ultimately being in contact with Krishna and being electrified with the current of the disciple succession. Therefore, whatever the spiritual master has to be conscious that whatever he's doing is being done as a servant of his spiritual master. But if he starts seeing himself to be the independent master, then he becomes, at least at that time, disqualified. In any case, if one is repeating the words of Krishna in disciple succession, and one is a disciple following them, then one will become benefited. Because ultimately what we're trying to do is please the devotees. Of course, the spiritual master, he can tell us to do something which is outside, but if he's repeating the words and we're following of Krishna, and we're following them and he becomes pleased, then Krishna will be pleased. And if there's any mistake, then Krishna will correct it. But at least it's not a mistake serving the words of the spiritual master in disciple succession. That's the end of our making mistakes. But the spiritual master has to have sufficient realization to understand that his service is to teach bhakti, and therefore he has to teach his disciples how to properly respect all the other devotees. If he's teaching them something, if his instructions causes offense against the other devotees, then the result is that he'll become affected and so will his disciple. And of course sometimes we have to learn from mistakes, but at least we should learn. So this material world is a learning experience, and it's expected that in the process of learning, someone's going to make a mistake, or many mistakes. But at least we should try to do something which will correct the mistake and go forward so we make less mistakes and we do things which are more positive. In any case, meditating on the disciple succession means to meditate on how these devotees are serving, expertly serving, just like the Mahajans in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Pallada, Janako, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Pallada, Janaka, someone in between there, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Pallada, Janako, Bhishma, Vayor, Vayasikir, Vayam. There are 12 Mahajans in the Srimad Bhagavatam, examples to ourselves how to engage in loving service to Krishna. And this is even more clearly exemplified in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how the loving exchanges go on between the devotees. So, in that respect, the spiritual master sets the example of loving exchanges, appropriate loving exchanges, instructs his disciples by his example and by his instructions how to engage in the loving exchanges with Krishna's devotees as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And part of that mission, part of that service to Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that we serve the devotees, not simply to serve the devotees, but to serve the acharyas. That's why Krishna and his representative are on the same level. When we talk of Ishvara, we talk about serving Ishvara through his representatives, the simple succession. So we learn how to engage in loving exchanges with the other devotees appropriately. And some of them may be on the same level as, or even a higher level sometimes, than our initiating guru. But together we cooperate with those devotees to help the innocent. It is not simply we keep ourselves in some kind of castle somewhere and we become neglectful of helping the innocent. So the spiritual master also has to be an expert preacher so he can present this knowledge as a Madhyama Adhikari with all logic, reasoning, intelligence so that he can attract reasonable people to take up the process of devotional service. And at the same time, he has to give the discrimination what is material and what is spiritual so one does not become associated with materialists. As Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that idam te na tapaskaya nabhaktaya kadachana nachashushushavevacham vichamam no visuyate. That this knowledge is not to be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in idam te na tapaskaya nabhaktaya, who are not devoted, kadachana, nachashushushavevacham, nachamabhyovasiyoti, or those who are actually envious of me. We're not supposed to instruct them. We're supposed to either defeat them or avoid them. So that's, without that package of taking shelter of the acharya, taking shelter of Krishna through the acharyas, someone who can connect us with the acharyas, without learning how to engage in loving exchanges with the devotees, and without helping the innocent and avoiding getting free from our attachment to the materialist, there's no question of actually working on the spiritual platform. We may imagine ourselves to be great devotees, and we may praise each other as great devotees, but unless we're actually working on that spiritual platform, it's just so much, I forget what they call that. When people are praising each other. What do they call that? What's that? Something about flattery. When everyone's just praising each other, but it's not really worthy of praise. In any case, that will not do us very much good. As a matter of fact, when we get used to that materialistic consciousness, whenever we expect everyone to just love whatever we're doing, then we will deviate more and more, and anyone who comes to correct our deviation will be seen as our enemy. Instead of being receptive to it, will actually think that this person's a Maya because they're not praising me. Therefore, one of the reasons we accept initiating guru, he's supposed to be able to chastise us sometimes or point out our deficiencies. And if one becomes disturbed by hearing that they're not perfect, then their advancement will actually become nil or negative. In any case, if you don't accept the spiritual master, it's not that you're going to go forward anyhow. Then you'll just have the mentality that no one can correct me. And if you accept the spiritual master and he tries to correct you, you become disturbed by the correction, then one is making a mistake. Then no one can help one. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Hala.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We have some questions from Facebook audience. So Avadhuta Rai Prabhu is asking, please accept my humble obeisances, Hare Krishna. We will never reject guidance of guru and devotees. What does it mean when Srila Prabhupada says ISKCON creates independently thoughtful devotees?
independently thoughtful devotees to depend upon Krishna rather than depending upon Maya and everyone else who may be also in Maya. We use our intelligence, as Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna, what's the first word? Itite gyanam akhyatam guyam guyatama maya yasrim chaitara sheshena ite chasi tatakaru. Now I've explained to you this knowledge thoroughly. Now deliberate on it fully and then do what you wish to do. So there's so much information, but we have to assimilate it. That's called independently thoughtful. We have to assimilate it ourselves personally and then come up with a conclusion and then see if we're willing to surrender to Krishna or not. We have to understand what the instructions are and then surrender to them. But unless we assimilate the knowledge Krishna has given us, we may not know what Krishna wants us to do. So we take help of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra so we can ascertain what Krishna wants us to do. And when we assimilate that knowledge, then we act, and we'll act in Krishna consciousness. Is that clear? Is that right?
I didn't understand completely. I didn't listen well.
Independently thoughtful means that we have our independent intelligence. And Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. So we have to hear what Krishna says, the whole Bhagavad Gita, and then assimilate that knowledge. You know what the word assimilate means? We have to put it all together and see what it actually means as a whole, what the siddhanta is, what the essence of it is. And then when we understand the essence, then we can act in full consciousness, with full knowledge. That's called Krishna consciousness. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I've explained to you everything. Now deliberate on it fully. That's called utilizing our independent intelligence to deliberate it. Not you ask everyone else all the time, what did Krishna say? You have to figure out by hearing what everyone is explaining to us to help us understand what Krishna says. And then when we understand it, then Krishna says, or if you don't understand it, if you don't understand it, Krishna was willing to repeat the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But if he did understand it, then Krishna says, then do what you wish to do. Either you can follow me, I've explained this to you, so you can follow me. If you haven't understood it, then I can explain it again to you. And if you don't want to understand it, you just want to do whatever you want to do, then do whatever you wish to do. So ultimately it's up to the soul whether to surrender to Krishna or not. Anything else?
Yes, there's more. It says, the same devotee is asking, we hear that with Krishna we can develop relationships such as servant, friend, parent, etc. What is our relation to the Guru?
Servant. The Guru is the servita God, as it says here in the purport. We're supposed to hear from the Guru, not only the initiating Guru, but anyone who's better than we are, more advanced in undeviated, unalloyed devotional service, who has more knowledge in bhakti, then we're supposed to learn from their examples and learn from their instructions how we can come to at least the platform that they're on. So that means we have to serve their instructions and their example. Their example is supposed to be a manifestation of their instructions. Right now, our only relationship is with this material body. It's a servant. We're serving our senses and mental concoctions. So now we have to serve Krishna's instructions coming through the Guru. So at least we can get out of the bodily concept of life and become fixed in our service to Krishna. Anything else?
Yeah, can I ask more? How can we understand the statement, how much we are surrendered to Guru, that type of relationship we will have with Krishna? How much Guru Bhakti, so much Krishna Bhakti?
Well, the Guru is supposed to help you remember Krishna. they're not supposed to be separate. If you are actually, you have a bona fide guru who connects you in the disciple succession, then you'll be connected with Krishna. And everything you will be doing, it will be in relationship to Krishna, and therefore Krishna will always reveal himself to you. Will always reveal himself to us, therefore will always be in Krishna consciousness. The guru teaches us everything belongs to Krishna, everything is meant to be utilized in Krishna's service, and we should do it to please Krishna. And if we do that, we'll remember Krishna. So we get a bona fide guru who believes that everything is Krishna's property, and everything is meant for Krishna's service, and he knows what we're supposed to be doing, or they know, our gurus, what we're supposed to be doing to serve Krishna, and we do that in the proper attitude to please Krishna, then we'll become, then we'll be Krishna conscious all the time, as much as we do that. Is that right?
Yeah, I just have one more.
Okay.
It seems to me, you say, if somebody cannot do great service to Guru and ISKCON, one is better not to take shelter of Guru. What is the minimum requirement to become a disciple?
Surrender. Have to be prepared. Have to believe that whatever the Guru tells me, I'm going to do it. Without, I can inquire how to do it, but I should be convinced that they're going to, whatever they tell me, I'm going to do it, that he's as good as God. If not, then it's useless. Because we're working in a society, so sometimes it may become confusing, but that should be clarified. In other words, there are many authorities and they should work together. But in any case, one accepts Guru, you're supposed to accept him as good as God. Otherwise, then who are you going to surrender to? And it's by surrender that we make spiritual advancement, and which comes in nine forms, six forms of Sharanagati. We have to surrender to someone. But then again, the Guru is authorized by the persons who are authorizing him to be Guru. So it's, but anyhow, for the disciple, that he doesn't have to worry about that. That would be taken care of by higher authorities. Yeah, his worry is how to understand what the Guru is telling me and how to do it. How to serve him appropriately. First of all, we should be sure that what he's saying is authorized. And then we can surrender to it. Authorized means that he's repeating what Krishna says. So we should know what Krishna says. Otherwise, how will we know who's telling us whether they're authorized or not? But once we find out our guru, our initiating guru, we're convinced that he's, whatever he says and does is simply to serve Krishna, and we accept surrender, then we have to surrender. As Prabhupada said, it's just like in a military discipline. Anything else? Hvala. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.